Just a little bit, Chris. Our microphone broke, so we're using a different microphone. And I feel like I'm just where my ears are balanced out with my voice. So I don't know if it needs to go up or down or sideways or I don't really know. And I'm probably going to mess everything up there, okay? So forgive me. Anyway, I just received this, and that's why it wasn't on my notepad here. It says the seniors a senior needs help on Saturdays. Of course, it's Martha Lancaster, who's a family member here. It's a paid position, Saturdays 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., 4 to 5 hours on that day, seeking a female. And you can contact the church office, or you can email us at info@loveneverfails.com. And we'll get you connected if you're interested in helping out Mary. So that would be a blessing. With all that being said, turn in your Bibles this morning as we're going to be in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. And as you turn there, let me read to you. Ephesians chapter 6, let's begin in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. And the church says, amen. What a word. You know, only the word of God. No one else in the world teaches us that we have an enemy that hates us. Amen. No other book in the world except the word of God teaches us how to remain victorious over the wicked one. So, you know, a lot of people, they get kind of nervous when you start talking about the devil. Don't get nervous. He's defeated. Amen. Remember last Sunday, whenever you read the word of God, read it as when you come to the evil one, the wicked one, or Lucifer, whatever it might be, what the god of this age, you know, always say he is the defeated god of this age. Jesus has defeated him. Like it says, he has spoiled principalities and powers on the cross. Amen. And we are in Christ. Therefore, we may remain victorious because of that. Now, remember also this morning from last Sunday that the devil is not anywhere like God at all. Amen? It's like Christians magnify him to where he's equal with God. He's not equal with God. He is a created being, and he is a fallen angel, and his powers are limited because they were stripped on the cross. He is no longer the author of death in every graveyard in the world. Amen? He's been stripped of that power. Jesus is the author of life and death. He's the one who takes care of us. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. In other words, whatever those words mean that are so, I can't even hardly pronounce them. He's not all-knowing. He's not everywhere at the same time. And he is certainly not all-powerful like Almighty God. Amen? So we need to remember that he exists, but he exists in defeated. We have overcome him because we are in the one who has overcome the world. Now listen carefully. If we have overcome the world because of Christ Jesus, being born from above, that means that everything in this world, no matter what it is, we remain victorious because we're in Christ and we've overcome everything. This world is not our home. Amen? So last time we talked about know the enemy. Now we're going to talk about know his methods. Say that with me. Know his methods. It is so important that we see that. Remember that verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's the beginning place. If you don't walk worthy of verse 10, remember, walk worthy, equal in doctrine, equal in application. You hear the word of God, you do the word of God. If you don't apply verse 10 and walk in the strength of the Lord, you are going to have a very unpleasant walk and be prepared to be defeated by this wicked one. Amen? You cannot fight the demonic realm with carnal weapons or your own human strength or your own human wisdom. So with all of that being said, now that we know we have to operate in the boundless energy of our Lord, which is infinite, Man, think about that. And it is all directed toward you. It's all directed toward me. We have to remember something this morning before we start looking at the principalities and powers. We have to remember that really, even though Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, we know that what he really wants is not to destroy humanity. He wants all the world, every religion. He doesn't care about what religion we are. No, listen, he wants every person under his control, and he wants every person on earth. His final goal is for the whole world to worship him. Now, with all that being said, as we get into our text this morning, remember that we are to know our enemy because our enemy knows us. He knows you. He knows our weaknesses. It's interesting that the devil preys upon our weaknesses, okay, or the demonic realm, but the Lord preys or attacks our strengths. Amen? The areas that we're strong. Because see, when we are weak in the Lord, that's when we're strong. Amen? We start looking that we can do something, and Jesus said, you can do it without me, you can't do anything. So what a balance that is. And with all that being said, remember again, the main goal of the wicked one, all the demonic realm that's against the believer, is to disable the new creation or disable the new man and steal every bit of the wealth that you learn in God's word, especially in this great epistle called Ephesians. So with all that being said, we need to know now his methods, the wiles or the strategies of the wicked one. So let's begin again this morning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And here it is. Put on the whole armor of God, every piece, which we'll get into in the weeks that are coming, the whole armor of God. And here's the reason why, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery, the methods, if you will, the strategies of the devil. He is our adversary. He is the wicked one. He is the most wicked entity in all of creation. He says that you may stand, be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do, but look what we wrestle against, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. So Paul lists about, what, four specific areas of where Satan's rule is. So it just told us who we wrestle against, who we don't wrestle against, and where Satan plans all of his strategies, all of his methods, and they're in the heavenlies. Did you know the word wrestle, Paul used it, that's the only place that Paul used it there in the New Testament. And it's if you really did a good word study on the word wrestle, man, I know that whenever the Ephesians, this letter was delivered to them, this letter from Paul, because remember, Paul's in prison when he wrote it. I'm telling you, they looked at that word wrestle, and I promise you that their mouths just dropped open. Because, see, in the first century, when Paul wrote this and penned this, you know, the Greek games of wrestling, they knew what happened to those who were wrestling. If you lost the match, you know what they did to you? They gouged out your eyes. Oh, and they were going, hello, Paul, you know what I mean? I mean, boy, he just, that illustration, I know it shocked them. And why? Because Paul is telling them we're in a real war. This is a real war and it's a real reality. And I believe sometimes the believers, they don't, just because you don't see what's happening in the spiritual realm, you don't think we're in a war. Let me explain. Listen, the reality that we're in right now is our reality in this chapel. Amen? It's the temperature is, I think, pleasant. You know, the microphone is all right, I guess. You know what I mean? I hope your seats are comfortable. You don't look like you're stressed out. I can't see you anyway because you're wearing a mask. But this is our reality. You can see, you can read your Bibles, you can hear me. But if we were in California or Oregon right now, we might be in a line where 500,000 people have evacuated. Are you following me? See, that is their reality. Totally different. Now, they would say, we are in a real life-threatening war. We are not saying that here. But see, that's what Paul wanted to get across. Loved one, listen to me. There is a war that is raging in the spiritual realm, and it is raging right this minute. So he tells us, he says, now listen, put on the whole armor of God, and so forth. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That is a method of the enemy. Listen, Satan doesn't want you fighting him. He wants you fighting every believer, doesn't he? Oh, come on. He wants us to fight each other. That's what he does. He doesn't want us to come against darkness or fight against darkness. He wants the church to tear apart the light of the world, each other. He wants us to wound one another. He wants us to gossip and lie about one another or slander one another. He doesn't want us to guard the unity of the Spirit at all. See, we don't fight against flesh and blood. I'm not your enemy. You're my brother and sister. Amen? And you're not my enemy. And that needs to be in our hearts. See, our greatest enemy is not what we see one another, but it's what we do not see. And I don't know how you feel about this, but Chris, bring me out of the well just a little bit, brother. I don't know how you feel about this, but to me, when I see Christians fighting Christians, or even non-believers, does that grieves me. You know, I always say in my heart, woe to those who sow discord in the body of Christ. Did you know that's one of the six, yea, seven things that God hates? Those who sow discord in the body, those who divide the body of Christ. And that is one of Satan's favorite methods. Here we are, we're all called into fellowship with one another. Amen. Are called in the fellowship with Jesus Christ. And then we get out of fellowship with one another. Boy, that's a grievous thing. That's such a sad thing. And you know, you would think that Christians would not be ignorant of his devices. In other words, the methods of his warfare. So we never want to do that. You know, sowing discord, division in the church with the Satan loves, because then, see, when Satan can get that accomplished in the church, that means he's ruling the body or the local body of Christ that's doing that. Amen? Okay. So the Bible teaches us, I think it's in Romans 16:17, right in that area, that Paul tells the church at Rome, he warns them, he said, you avoid a divisive person. He said, man, you warn yourself about that, and you avoid those who hinder the good news of God or hinder the plan of the living God. He said, you get away from them and you mark them. Now, that's how serious that is, but that's what the devil does. So, with all that being said, we don't fight against flesh and blood. And may I say to you, I don't want to get political, I don't want to get off on anything, but I tell you that the devil is having a heyday right now in our nation. His fingerprints are from California all the way to New Hampshire. I don't know if any of you caught the latest headline this morning. If you had the opportunity to just review Google or whatever you do, you know, they had the first time they had a transsexual Satanist activist now enough ballots and vote for in New Hampshire to be running for the sheriff of that city in this specific city. We're living in the craziest times. The devil is having a heyday. His fingerprints are on everything that is happening right now. I mean, look at America. Why are we divided? Look at the division that is taking place. Listen to the rhetoric on the news and newscasters and the rhetoric from the White House and the rhetoric from the Democrats and rhetoric from the Republicans and so forth. You know, why is America being burned down in certain cities right now? The real reason. I mean, why is there so much hate in our nation right this minute? I'll tell you why. Because murder and hate and racism and anti-Semitism and all the other things are wiles of the devil, aren't they? See, that is Satan's, what? Methods. See, lost people don't know. They don't believe in the devil. I mean, they'll hug a tree before they believe in the devil. Do you understand? No, they don't believe in the devil at all. They don't believe that the devil, that spirit of him who works, it says, in the sons of disobedience, the ones that don't know the Lord, and they're being ruled and they don't know they're being ruled. Think about that. And that's why you're seeing all of this hell in our nation right now. I like what John Phillips said. He said this, our enemies are not people. We must see beyond people Satan may use people now to persecute us, lie to us, cheat us, hurt us, or even kill us. But our real enemy lurks in the shadows of the unseen world, moving people as pawns on the chessboard of time. And as long as we see people as enemies and wrestle against them, we will spend our strength in vain. Boy, that is a true word. People are not our enemies. Amen? It's the wicked one. Matter of fact, he says that we war against what? It says against principalities. That's a very interesting word in the Greek. It literally means the beginning or beginnings. It's kind of like we're going to draw a line, okay? And so here is the beginning of the line, and now we're starting to draw that. So this here, this principality, the devil, remember the devil, it says that he was a sinner from the beginning, or a murderer from the beginning, and a sinner from the beginning. So that line that he has drawn, loved one, that is the beginning place in those principalities where he rules, where he is reigning, okay, as a fallen angel. So the Satan's principalities there. He says, you know, never forget, as I already mentioned at the beginning of the message, that Jesus has already overcome all principalities and powers. Amen? He has spoiled them, Colossians 2:15. He has stripped them of their power. He's led them in public triumph through the heavens, if you will. And he did so when he died upon the cross. The Bible tells us that Jesus, our Lord, and we are in him. He is above everything that is named, everything that can be seen. He is the creator. He is the sustainer of everything in this world. Amen? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:21 that Jesus is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. Write down any title, any unknown title in the wicked realm that we cannot see, any title in this world that has been or ever will be. The name of Jesus is higher than them all. Amen? And he is our Lord. The Bible tells us, Colossians 2:9 and 10, that we are complete in him, Jesus, who is ahead of all principality and power. Go to the book of Romans sometime and read chapter 8, verse 38, when Paul says, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor any created thing, things present, things to come, principalities or powers, there's those words, where the devil reigns, can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No. Boy, Jesus is the one that's reigning. So we wrestle against what? Principalities. We wrestle also against, it says, powers. Those are demons that are empowered, if you will, under the control of the wicked one, under the control of David. I mean, the devil. You know, I know it's hard for us to maybe think about it or even get a grasp upon it, but there are spiritual hosts of wickedness everywhere in the universe around us. Amen? And not that we want to concentrate on that, but we're just going to know his methods. We know the enemy. We're just learning his methods. We're not lifting him up or not trying to focus on him, but God wants us to know about these things. Isn't it amazing that the spiritual host of wickedness that surrounds us, surrounds our earth, if you will, they were all created good. Amen? The fallen angels, they were all created good. They were all of them were in heaven. They all worshiped God, and that part of them, however many it was, then they all fell when Lucifer fell, when he led that rebellion in heaven. That realm, those powers, if you will, which we'll learn about later on, down through the next couple of weeks, they are parasites. That's what a demon is. They are parasites. You know, demons don't manifest themselves. Now, Satan manifested himself to the Lord in the wilderness temptation, remember? But demons, the only way that we in the Bible have seen them manifest themselves is through taking on a host. They manifest their personalities through a host like demon possession. The man there in the caves, remember, Legion. Jesus said, what is your name? And he cried out, Legion, for we are many. That's 2,000 demons. Remember, they went into the pigs and so forth, went over the hill. So with all of that being said, this realm that we fight against, they hate God, they hate you, They hate everyone in mankind, and each one is an extension of the wicked character of the devil himself. So Satan's methods are the demon's methods, if you will. And their main goal is always to blind the unbeliever to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now look at the next one here in verse 12. It says, against the rulers, notice that it says, that's plural, the rulers of the darkness of this age. Now that word is only here in the Greek, nowhere else, and it literally means world rulers, plural, of darkness. So this world system that is antichrist, that doesn't want anything to do with God, doesn't want God in their thoughts and so forth. That's what we're talking about right here. In John 12:31, Jesus said that, he said, now the ruler of this world will be cast out, meaning the devil. In John chapter 14:30, Jesus again used that expression. He said, the ruler of this world is coming and has nothing in me. Now listen carefully. The rulers of darkness, what a title. And I look at that and I go, dear Lord, it is so easy for the rulers of darkness to keep the lost in darkness. It's easy for them. I mean, they're not born from above. They're natural man. They're still in Adam. Sin is dominating them. They're dead in trespasses and sins, loved one. And not only that, what does it say in John 3, what was it, 19? You know, the light has come, but men didn't love the light. They love darkness. They love darkness because their deeds were evil. And they're living in darkness, but they don't know they're in darkness. It's so easy for the rulers of darkness to keep them there. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness. We're not anymore. But before we were born again, it doesn't say we were in darkness. It says we were darkness. What a word is that? If you went over to chapter 4, I believe it is, of Ephesians, verse 18, right in that area, it says even before we were born again, our minds were literally, our understanding was darkened. Now listen carefully. I really prayed a lot about what I'm about to say. Just thinking about how, I mean, remember before you came to Christ, how deceived you were? I was. Man, thank God we're saved. And I start thinking about the lost, and it doesn't mean, listen, there's a lot of good people, hardworking people, honest people. They pay their taxes, they love their kids, but they don't know they're in darkness. Do you understand? They don't know the Lord. They're not born again. They don't have the Holy Spirit living in their lives. And listen, here's what happens. You have to know his methods when you're dealing with lost people. Because, see, the rulers of darkness, here's what they do with the lost. They keep them in undisturbed darkness. They don't disturb that realm. They're living in it. They don't know they're living in it. They don't want to ruffle any feathers. Are you listening to me? They don't want to do that at all. See, they gently lie. The whole world says gently lies in the sway, the arms of the wicked one. Boy, Satan doesn't want to wake them up. Do you see that? He wants to keep them right there. And they unknowingly, they're comfortable in darkness. They unknowingly enjoy darkness, but they don't know it. And not only that, they're being held in darkness by the prince of darkness, and they're unable to escape, and only the Christian can wake them up. Amen? And that's your job. That's my job. Jesus told us in John 12:46, I've come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide, should not live or dwell in darkness. Another method of Satan, boy, he's good at this one too. I mean, he's incredible at this. And that is Satan himself, it says in the Bible, transforms himself into an angel of light. Think about that. Now, the word transforms actually means to disguise oneself or to masquerade. And he is a master, if you will, of disguise. There is some way that he has the ability to make darkness look like light, to make sin look like incredible pleasure and not wrong. Are you with me? You see what he does? Listen, he makes evil appear so innocent, so natural, and so right. And the reason that he does that and can do that is because he's had thousands of years and experiencing mankind. Amen. He is the tempter. He is the seducer of people. And he does it in such innocent ways. He can get you hooked on something if you're not careful. Everybody, listen, whatever you make, when you make a decision to do something, you ought to pray about it before you do it. Because you don't know. It could be so innocent, but actually it's a setup. It is a trap. And there's another thing that the devil, one of his methods, that he is an expert in. He is an expert in vomit. That's right. He's an expert in vomit. You say, Bill, that's gross. Yes, it is gross. He's gross, man. Listen, he knows how to make what the Lord delivered you, the believer, from seem acceptable again. Did you catch that? Not say acceptable. I said seem acceptable. Oh, he is so subtle in his devices. And you have to be so careful, loved one. See, that's what he wants every believer to do. You know, like the false teachers, remember in Peter there in 2 Peter 2:22, he said, they're like a dog that returns to their own vomit. They go back to the way they were. And that's what the devil wants. He wants to disable again the new man, the new creation. So the rulers of the darkness of this world, they do something else. And they're over nations, if you will. They're over governments and so forth. Remember there in Daniel when he was praying and he was seeking the Lord. He'd been fasting and praying for 21 days. And an angel of God shows up and says, oh, Daniel, greatly beloved of the Lord, we heard your prayer. I'm sorry. He said, I'm sent by God to talk to you and explain everything to you. He says, I heard your prayer. Your prayer was answered on the very first day. So what happened if there's been 21 days there? Why did it take you so long to get there? Well, the Bible teaches us in Daniel 10, 11, and following, you can read that later, that there's a war in heaven. And so Michael had to come, and the prince of Persia, this demon, was fighting, and Michael had to come and help the other angel so he could get through to get to Daniel. See, there's a war in the heavenlies. There's a war in the heavenlies right this minute. And you need to know those methods. You need to know what he's doing. Man, listen, there's an unseen war right now that is happening this very, very minute. And he, the devil, has strategically placed some specific rulers of darkness, these demons, over specific areas in the world, over nations, over cities, over states, over governments, and so forth, just like we learned in Daniel chapter 10. And what they do is they get in, and however they do it, but they want to groom mankind. There's been a lot of grooming of America in the last 10 years. Do you know that? Oh, listen, they've so groomed this nation. Oh, listen, now this nation accepts same-sex marriage as, hey, that's the normal. They teach evolution as truth in schools instead of a theory. You follow me? They teach it as fact. They've groomed this nation so much that abortion, it's the right kind of choice. You know what I mean? That's what they've done. And demons do something else. They use people. They use people. It's amazing. There's a guy, I'm not going to mention his name. I read him once a week. I'm not going to tell you where I read him. Man, I go, boy, you must be the brother of Satan. I mean, dear God, the things that this guy writes, he's a pastor. Listen, demons use people. And what the Bible teaches us that demons use people to do something, to teach doctrines of the devil, doctrines inspired by the wicked one. Let me give you the scripture, 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in the latter times, and that's where we are right now, some will depart from the faith. That's almost an epidemic of people departing from the Lord right now. Did you know that? Unbelievable. And it says, in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. And here's why. Because they give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, doctrines of demons is not teaching about demons, but demons teaching through a host, if you will, a person, a false teacher, a false prophet, a false pastor. And what they do, the deceiving spirit, they lead that person astray, away from the things of God. into false doctrine and so forth. Whenever you hear any pastor, doesn't matter what denomination that might be, you hear any man of God deny the virgin birth, if you hear any man of God deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his sacrificial sacrifice on the cross for our sins, and the inerrancy of the Word of God, I can tell you who he's working for. He's working for the devil. Do you understand? And there are many today that do that. So it says, we not only war we against the spiritual host or the spiritual armies of wickedness or evil spirits there in verse 12 again. And look where it's done. In the heavenly places. So we know from earlier teaching in Ephesians 2:2, where it tells us that the prince of the power of the air who now works, gives energy to the sons of disobedience, those that are not born again. Now, I had my early pastor when I was a young fellow, great guy, loved him. He was a good, good man. And he was the number one author of the Broadman Press, which is a Baptist publication. He wrote in one of his books, he said this, "We have before us a system so completely depraved in its nature, organized in its approach that no method," there's that word, "no method is spared or procedure scrapped because of his heinous nature. No idea is too immoral. No murder is too foul. No injustice so great as to be laid aside." He's speaking of the unseen world. The places, the powers, the principalities, the rulers of darkness. Now, it says they do so, they do their bidding there in the heavenly places. And what you don't want to do, you don't want to confuse heavenly places with, for example, where Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 comes from. Remember, thanks be unto God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. Now, no, you don't want to, that's not what Paul is talking about here. You don't want to confuse that word heavenly places where the angels abide or where God abides, where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, where we're one day going to be, we're positionally seated with him right now. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the place below the heaven, above the earth. He says the prince of the power of the air, that atmosphere that is saturated, if you will, that is his operational domain. He surrounds the earth, and this is his prison, if you will. Now, with all that being said, we're to do something. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you will be able to resist or withstand in the evil day, and we know that every day is evil, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. In other words, stand to the very end. Now, listen. Verse 13 is a command. It's a command to the believer. This is something you have to do, I have to do, and you do it once and for all. You don't leave your house. Man, you put on the armor of God. You keep on the armor of God every day. Amen? But you have to take it up as if it lies right at your feet. You have to take it up. This is something that you have to do. And I want you to catch something here. Does Paul say, attack the devil? He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say, no, you go get the devil. He didn't say, you be a devil chaser. He didn't say, start shouting at the devil and binding him and what all the rest of it are calling him names. Don't call the devil names. Okay? Listen, you have to be careful. No, Paul said, all I want you to do one thing. You stand. You stand. Remember whenever Michael, the archangel, was battling Satan over the body of Moses. Remember that? It says in Jude 9, it says, Michael the archangel is contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses. Listen to what Michael did not do. Michael the archangel dared not bring an accusation, a reviling accusation against the devil, but he just said this, the Lord rebuke you. There it is. The Lord. It's his strength. It's his name. Amen? The Lord rebuke you. Did Michael know Lucifer? Yeah, they were in heaven together. He knows all about all of that. No, he says he had authority to do it, but no, he said, the Lord rebuke you. You get away from the body of the Lord rebuke you, and he had to leave. Amen? Now, with all that being said, this command Our command is not to attack. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. That means that you don't run. That means that you don't fall apart. It means that you don't tremble with fear. It means that you stand. Why do you not have to tremble in fear? Well, first, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down strongholds. Amen. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You have all the power at your disposal. You don't have to run. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be terrified. Man, you are a child of the living God. Your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. Loved one, listen. The Bible teaches us that the wicked one touches us not. Matter of fact, we have been, remember, delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Think about that. We have nothing to worry about at all. But you have to know His methods. Now listen carefully. Knowing Luke 10:19, for example, where Jesus told the disciples and us as well, He says, I give unto you all power, all authority over the enemy, the wicked one, and by no means shall he hurt you. Amen? You know that, but you need to believe that, but you need to know more than that. You need to know more than 1 Thessalonians, 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and who will guard you from the evil one. You need to know those things. You need to know, yes, that John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You need to know James 4:7. You need to know, what does that say? Submit unto God and resist the devil. He will flee from you. You need to know in 1 Peter 5:9, yes, you have a what? It says, be sober, be self-controlled. It says, be vigilant, stay awake, be on guard. For your adversary, the devil, what does he do? Man, he's hungry. He roams around like he's looking for someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. But that's not enough. Not in warfare. Those scriptures, you need to know them, but you have to believe them. Amen? You have to believe them. Loved one, now listen to me. Knowing John 8:44 that about Satan, that he was a murderer from the beginning, that there's no truth in him, that he is a father of every lie, and so forth. Listen, that's good. You need to know all about that. That's wonderful to know. But you need more than that. More than that. You see, Satan has a plan for every believer now in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the 21st century, and in the future tribulation that's coming. Listen, he has a plan. And here's what he wants to do. He wants to wear you out in this life. The Bible says in Daniel 7:25 about this man that's coming, this wicked man. He'll speak pompous words against the Most High God, and he shall persecute. That word means, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High God. He wants to wear you out. He wants to wear you down. He wants your body exhausted, your mind exhausted, and you need to know his methods. He wants you so worn out mentally, focusing on this pandemic, you know, and letting it rule and reign in your life. That's what he wants. He wants to define and shape every thought, if possible, the way you think. He wants to keep you in a constant state of fear or a constant state of worry or a constant state of self-pity. Are you listening to me? That's what he wants. That's what he does. So you have to know his methods. He wants you to think like he thinks. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is, or within himself, so he is. You know, we have to be careful in warfare about having a wrong focus. You can be sitting at a dinner table. You can be driving in your car, and all of a sudden, a past sin from 15 years, 10 years, 5 years, 5 months ago, will it come into your mind? Yes. Don't focus on that. Or you'll sit there and all of a sudden you have a review of your life and you'll be looking at one failure after another failure and this failure and that failure. Listen, loved one, I'm telling you, don't do that. Don't do that. That's wrong focus. You know, if you're going to focus on something, focus on what is true and what is right. Your sins are not only forgiven, your sins are forgotten. Why would you want to think about what God doesn't remember? The Bible says in Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know what the devil does? He wants you to focus on death and not on life. He wants you to focus on defeat and not on victory. He wants you to focus on everything that's happening today in this world, in our country, and not focus on the author and the finisher of our faith, and not focus on the Word of God and the promises of God. That's what he wants. That is wrong focus, loved one. We have to have right focus. He wants you to look at your own righteousness, which is filthy rags. Oh, I'm not adding up. I can't. Listen, we have been imputed the righteousness of Christ. It is in our account. It's been imputed to you, meaning to imputation means to take what belongs to another and bring it over and put into your account, your checkbook, if you will. You have the perfect, spotless, sinless righteousness that can never be changed. Amen? Wait till we get, that's why the breastplate of righteousness, which is part of the armor, that's why you need to know who you are. That's why you need to know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Yeah, that's so vital that we know that in this horrible battle that we're in with this devil, you have to beware of something else. You have to beware of fear. I'm telling you, fear is of the devil. I know that. I know that with all of my heart. And I'm going to tell you something. Here's what's going to happen if you operate and live in fear. You won't find God there. God's not there. God doesn't live in fear. He doesn't dwell in fear. Matter of fact, you go through and read all the fear nots in the Bible. Amen? No, loved one. No, only the demons. That's where the darkness is. The Bible says that fear hath torment, but perfect love cast out fear. Paul writes to Timothy and to us as well in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not, past tense, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Amen? We don't have to operate in fear. You know why? There's only one person that we are called upon to fear, and that's Almighty God. Fear the Lord. Blessed is the man, the Bible says, who fears God. That's the only one. It eliminates all other fears. Amen? Yes, you don't have to be afraid. And there's something else that I want to talk to you about if we have time. Do we have time for a couple more things? Well, three of you. Okay, everybody else take up an offering. No. Know his methods. Listen, if there's one thing I've learned after all these years, warfare is for life. You see, when I was a young believer, a young pastor, you know, I didn't think that each decade would be getting more difficult and more difficult. I thought it'd be, man, by the time I'm maybe 30, 40 or whatever, like right now I'm 45, you know, and it would be a smooth journey till I walk home to heaven. Amen? Oh no, but every decade it gets different. Every decade you have new warfare issues that come. Do you understand? And here's what happens now. If you've been a Christian a long time, let's say 40 some odd years like I've been, and maybe some of you have been Christians 50 years and old, listen, here's the deal. Have you noticed that warfare throughout your life is accumulative? You know, you've heard of, what is that called, PTSD? Is that what the, you know, yeah, that can happen to a believer. Listen, because Satan is unrelenting. I talk to pastors, you know, on the phone all the time. I go to Calvary Chapel, pastors, and all of them, you know, when we used to get together. You know, you say, you know, like I remember this guy, hey, Bill, man, I'm burnt out. I can't do it. I mean, I entered the ministry. This is my seventh year in the ministry. And man, I went in, I had all the zeal in the world. And I said, zeal won't cut it, brother. It's good to have zeal. But zeal without knowledge won't hit. You have to have zeal with knowledge. You're 10 years and you go, but it's been, you know, trying to build the work, and year after year, I see people come in, they're backbiting, or they gossip and they betray one another. And all of a sudden in that person's life, I talked with them. I said, disillusionment has set in. I said, I've been there. I mean, I understand it. The reason for that, it's accumulative, because there is a never, for you, for me, there's a never ending constant assault against you, against teaching. If you don't think there was warfare, all I was in my bed this morning at 3:30 praying. Do you understand? I liked it in the bed. I usually go to my, never mind. Do you see what I'm getting at? That I have got to pray through. And there's that always that onslaught, you know, your teacher or whatever. And it's like, does it ever end? No. And here's the deal. Satan is an ancient foe. He has a lot of experience. But we don't have a lot of experience. Does that make sense? That's why we have to know his methods, loved one. Now listen, the Christian must know this about warfare, that wisdom comes before warfare. If you don't go there, you will be in trouble. Wisdom is before warfare. The Bible says in Proverbs 20:18, by wise counsel, wage war. Ecclesiastes 9:14, there was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built snares around it. But there was found in this city a poor, wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:18, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Now listen, let's have some wisdom for a minute. Demons are spirits, aren't they? Okay. Now, how do we, I mean, do angels, do they die? No. Do they bleed? Can we, how do we get our Glock for the flock and shoot them? Do you understand what I'm getting at? See, it's so important to get this right. I mean, how in the world do we battle that? Well, first of all, we know that Jesus has already won the battle for us. But you have to remember now, wisdom. We are in a spiritual battle. How do we win? And we're going to learn, yes, putting on all the armor of God. But we have to be who we are in Christ Jesus. See, you are the light of the world. Amen? What does light do? Light puts out the darkness. Not only that, it says, do not be overcome with evil. Paul writes in Romans 12:21, I think. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. See, you walk in the Spirit. You live in the Spirit. You be led by the Spirit. You get into the Word of God. Listen, and do what it says. I have in my Bible, not this one, but one in my office that I counsel with, and I have it right in the very front of my Bible. It says this. The only battle the Christian faces in this life, the only battle that a Christian faces in this life is over the Word of God. And whether he believes that he can build his life on the integrity and the faithfulness of the living God. That's it. That's the only battle that you're facing when you have warfare, loved one. You have to know his methods. One more. And this is very important. And I have learned just later in life. Since I started turning maybe 55 and in the 60s and so forth, I started understanding something. And that is this, the enemy, and it's so subtle, and I never caught it, but the enemy wants to define your reality, the reality that you live in, the reality of your workplace, the reality of your home life, the reality of your prayer life, the reality of how you study the Bible, or if you don't study, are you with me? He wants to define all of that in your life, but you would never think he would want to define that. And that's what he does. You know, you have to ask yourself every day, who and what defines my personal reality? It's either going to be the Word of God or the God of this world. It's just that simple. Listen, your warfare is over who's controlling your reality. Does that make sense? It's either you or somebody else. Oh, listen. You control your reality when the truth of God's word, when it's believed, when it's applied, you're in control of what you're doing. You're in control of your world, your reality. See, we walk through this life and the devil wants us to kick cans. Oh boy, woe is me. Do you understand? That's a false reality. That is a lie. Here's your reality. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing which is in Christ Jesus your Lord. That is your reality. Your reality when the devil comes against you is this, that my God in heaven, I was chosen in Christ, in Him, before the very foundations of this world. Amen? See, that's your reality. Not only that, you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You're a purchased possession. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And God loves you just as much as He loves His own very Son. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's your reality. How long? Until the very day of redemption. Listen, that's what you have to get into your heart. That's why we have to put on the girdle of truth, as we'll learn in the weeks that lie ahead. You have to do those things, loved one. You have to know that right this very minute, as Paul said, thanks be unto God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah, we're co-heirs with Christ. Heaven is our home. Amen. Loved one, listen. Satan is defeated. Jesus defeated Satan for us. But here's the deal. He's not removed from this world. He's vanquished, but he hasn't vanished. He's active, but he's not able to overcome the believer. The wicked one touches us not. Amen? We are in Christ. We belong to Christ. Again, we're His purchased possession. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. The Bible says in 4:17, as He is, present tense, Jesus, right this minute, seated at the right hand of God, as He is, so are we in this world. Praise God. And we need to embrace that. We need to put on the whole armor of God, every piece. And listen to me now. There's two things that you can never do. You never turn your back in battle. Don't, you know why? If you look back there, did you notice that when you read it, God didn't provide one thing for your backside. There's no armor back there. That's why He says stand. Having all that you can do, you stand there for. You're going to win. You've already won. You have to stand. You don't ever give up or let up. No, there's no armor for the backside. It says in Isaiah 52:12 that God is your rear guard. Praise the Lord for that. And don't be like Lot's wife and, you know, turn around and look back, you know. Last thing she saw was the place she loved, Sodom. Oh, man. No. The Bible says, Jesus told us in Luke 9 something. Whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Not fit. There's nothing back there. We are soldiers of the Lord. And we are called on to move forward. And if there's anyone here, anyone listening live, man, I'm thankful for the online congregation. You're everywhere. Thank you for tuning in. Maybe you're sitting in your kitchen or your car, or you're listening on the radio, whatever it might be right now. And maybe there are people that are with you and Jesus is not their Lord. That's who I'm talking to. Please don't turn me off. And don't turn me off here if Jesus isn't your Lord. Listen, if Jesus is not the Lord of your life, I'm going to tell you something. Whether you believe it or not, the prince of the power of air, the rulers of wickedness, if you will, of darkness, they are right now defining your reality. They're defining your reality. 1 John 5:13 says, my purpose in writing you is simply this, that you believe in God's Son, and you'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. The reality, not the illusion. He goes on, he says in Proverbs 14:18, he says, foolish dreamers live in the world of illusion. But wise realists, they plant their feet on the ground, and that ground and that rock is Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John 5:12 says this, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. If you want the true reality, you have to say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. If not, you will live in illusion because this world is a playground of illusion. The greatest thing you can do to be unchained by the powers of darkness is to ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. You know what? He appears as an angel of light. He's a religious expert. And you know what he does? He comes with a new gospel, and he offers mankind a way of life without God, without Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to man. It seems right. This has got to be right. But it leads only to death. So right now, you know what you can do? You can ask Christ Jesus. All of us are going to bow our heads and pray. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name. Any of those that are listening live, any that may be in this chapel, anyone who's listened to the sound of my voice, if Jesus is not the Lord of their life, please pray this prayer with me. Church, I want you to help me. Just say, Father, today I come to you in Jesus' name, and I confess with my mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Father, you promised if I confess Jesus as my Lord and really meant it, you would save me. I believe. Save me now in Jesus' name. Our heads are still bowed, no one looking around. Maybe you're here in this small crowd in this early service, but you prayed that prayer. If so, listen to me. You don't have to come to this altar, but why not just lift your hand and put it right up and say, Bill, I prayed that prayer, and then put it right back down. Anyone at all this morning? Praise the Lord. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, you're listening live right now, I have a booklet I want to send you called Welcome to the Family of God. Just email me at info@loveneverfails.com and give me your address, and that book will be mailed out tomorrow morning. God is good. Father, we praise you for this day, for your word, your truth. The Lord, protect the sheep of your pasture, prosper them in every area of their life. Let them never walk in fear, but walk in faith. Lord, let them think life and not death. And Lord, bless them. Let them just put a spiritual spring in their step. And Lord, let you, our Father in heaven, define their reality. Not the world, not the darkness, not the pandemic, but you. We love you, we praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet, guys. I kept you a little bit longer today. I don't apologize for that. You know, I mean, you're just going to go home anyway, you see. I do pray you have a wonderful day. And listen, we're going to dismiss with a quick song. And here's the deal. If you need prayer, all you have to do after everyone is gone, just remain seated and you'll have people that will come and pray for you. Let's sing to the Lord. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me, and I love him so. Yes, we do, Lord. I love him so. Thank you, Jesus.
I love him so.
He's so good. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful week. Amen.